Welcome to the TF Blockchain Podcast, where we interview blockchain, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency innovators actively building products and platforms in this emerging technology. I'm your host and founder of TF Blockchain, Jonathan G. Blanco. TF Blockchain hosts conferences and monthly events in cities across North America, with chapters in Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, Austin, and San Francisco. For more information about our monthly chapter events, starting a chapter in your city, or our TF4 conference on November 14th, please visit us at tfblock.io. Wanted to let you know about our recently announced TF Labs, a blockchain and product strategy studio. At TF Labs, we are working with companies through corporate innovation to establish their blockchain product strategy, and also building blockchain-focused startups internally. To get involved or for more information, please visit us at tflabs.io. Well, welcome Seattle. Thank you so much for coming this evening to our TF Blockchain Seattle event. I'm really excited to introduce you all to Jim Garrity, the CEO of Coinstar. Please help me welcome him to our event. Jim, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be with us. You spoke at our TF3 conference back in March. Your colleague will be at TF4 here in a week or so. Love for you to introduce yourself to everybody. You could introduce everybody too, but
I don't know anybody but one person here, so it would be a problem. So I'm Jim Garrity. I'm the CEO for Coinstar, as already stated. I've been with the company for 15 years now, so it's been a long I did not start in the mailroom. I started in operations and kind of worked my way through the process there.
Nice. So tell everybody here what Coinstar does, it's about, so you can lay some context.
So you probably, wherever you go grocery shopping, which I'm assuming everybody does here, at some point in time have bumped into one of our kiosks. We have self-service coin-operated kiosk, coin counting, if you will, kiosks in 22,000 locations today across about 11 countries. So the predominant share of our installations are in the United States, about 17,500 or so. And we're predominantly in the grocery channel, but we're in other channels as well. So we do installations in financial institutions. So we're in banks where consumers can go in and deposit coin to their account directly, if you will. We're in other types of channels like drug, or we're also in CVS. You'll find us in certain locations. And we've tried many different types of channels throughout our career. We find grocery to be the best simply because it's the frequency. People go there every single week, and they see the machine, and eventually they touch it, and eventually they use it. So it's one of those things. And once we get them, we pretty much have them hooked. They're more or less a lifetime customer. But our machines don't just do coin transactions. They also accept paper notes, paper money. And we do a lot of transactions of cash in. So one of them is Amazon Cash. You can load notes directly to your Amazon account. We also do notes to cryptocurrency purchases, so Bitcoin specifically. And we have a partner here in Seattle that does that. But the business has grown for 28 years at this point in time. So it's not a startup by any means. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to add more types of services to our platform. So the coins is one part of it, but notes, as we get into it, are other parts of loading cash into systems, into platforms. And then we've developed recently a mobile platform that we're looking to try to extend that experience away from the kiosk so that we can be with the customer more directly and ongoing into alternative financial services. So that's kind of where the path is leading us.
Yeah, no, super interesting. So I have tons of questions on that. Before we get to that, I'd love to just get to know you a little bit better. You know, where are you from? No, I'm just kidding. But
I'm an East Coast guy.
Are you from the East Coast?
I am. I'm from Boston.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't have the Boston accent, though.
I lost it when I came out here 15 years ago.
Did you? Yeah. Nice.
When I drink, it tends to show itself up again.
Nice. I love to see that. So, so you know, Coinstar is like an alternative finance company, right? Did you have a finance background before you got to CoinStar, or tell us a little bit about kind of what drew your interest to there? What were you doing before CoinStar?
Yeah, so I basically had two jobs in my career. One was with Brinks, the armored car company, and one was with CoinStar.
I did
about 15 years with each company. So, you know, college was general business courses, but you know, finance was certainly a big part of that. And then in my career in the armored car industry, I did a lot of everything. I did operations, I did sales, I did product development. Back in the days, and most of you are too young to remember this, but when ATMs first kind of came on the scene, nobody really understood what those were.
Right.
I developed a product program to service ATMs, to cash replenishment, to do deposit pickups, a lot of things that you don't see much anymore. You can't do a lot of deposits at ATMs anymore. But product development had always been a really large interest for me throughout the years. And then, you know, being an operator, this business kind of fit really well to my skill set.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So you started out, you said, in operations, and then 15 years later, when did you become CEO?
I was the president of the business back in 2015. And then once the company got taken private, I was the CEO for just CoinStar. CoinStar was underneath a parent company called Outerwall. Outerwall owned Redbox, CoinStar, and then a small startup in San Diego called Eco ATM.
Oh, got it. Got
it. So three different lines of businesses.
Yeah, nice. So, you know, we're talking about CoinStar from a business model. You do a lot of business in coins, obviously. You're the market leader when it comes to coins.
About $3 billion a year in coins.
And how much volume of coin? Just for context, what's the volume?
How many pieces?
No, sorry. What's the global volume of coins?
What's available?
What's available? Sorry.
Oh God, I couldn't even begin to tell you. It's trillions.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, because you know, one of the things that I find really interesting, I was reading an article about this recently, is that there's more notes or currency out than ever before.
There is. In the U.S., about $1.7 trillion.
Yeah, and you know, we think a lot, because you know, a lot of us use, you know, our Apple Pay or credit cards or whatever to make payments, but there's still more actual paper
there
and
is.
Coin money than ever.
We kind of keep an eye on that because it's important to our business.
Yeah. So
that's kind of a key thing. I was just recently at a coin conference in Rome. We looked at all the volumes of all the European countries and Asian countries, and in each one of those, the cash and coin in circulation year over year continues to grow.
So it's
the U.S. is a demand-based system for the production of coin and currency.
Yeah.
Without banks demanding it, the government doesn't mint it
or produce
the notes. So it's all based on banks, their needs, and their consumers' needs. So it's still really big.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I know you don't deal with $100 currency notes, but I saw this graph the other day where it's basically showing how the amount of $100 notes in circulation has just gone up massively over the last.
It's the largest production by the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, but a lot of that doesn't even stay in the United States. It's mostly exported.
Interesting.
So it's hedged and kept by other countries in the event of something goes wrong in theirs.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. So, you know, we're talking about the coins, and now you have these other opportunities when it comes to, you know, the notes for Amazon, or the notes for Bitcoin,
right.
The mobile. Well, we're here to talk about cryptocurrency. Let's go
sure.
there. So, we were talking about this earlier. It's like, hey, you're not a Bitcoin expert, but
I am a neophyte when it comes to Bitcoin. So,
but what was really interesting about having this conversation is that, you know, you and your company saw an opportunity to, you know, generate more revenue, have a new line item or so forth when it comes to Bitcoin. Take me through that process. Like, how did that get introduced to you? How did this become interesting? You know, what are some tips that led you to start thinking that way?
Yeah, so it was probably, I'm gonna say, 3 years ago that our board had brought up the idea that, you know, you've got this coin in your name and there's this Bitcoin thing that's out there, and maybe you should think about how to marry those in some way. And quite frankly, 3 years ago when I was looking at this, I said, you know, I don't think that this is the right place for us to be. Most of the transactions in this cryptocurrency are unknown. They can be passed from one to the other. I get concerned about what happens to those transactions or that Bitcoin once it's bought at our machine. I prefer not to be in the headlines of a paper somewhere as a result of having that type of a sale. So, you know, time went by. I think I warmed more to the idea of what that could be, and especially in the event that we could partner with someone who would go through kind of the MTL, KYC type process to ensure that we knew who was buying it. And of course, we're taking fiat currency to sell this coin. I have to have a bank that's going to accept it.
Right.
There's a lot of banks that won't take this as a deposit today. The larger ones, Bank of America, Chase, Citi, they wouldn't touch it with you know, any, it wouldn't matter how many fees you could put on it.
For sure.
They're just not going to touch it. So when I started to really get serious and think about, is this a possibility, we found a partner here in Seattle with CoinMe. They were doing MTLs in all the states that required them. They had all KYC on the purchase of the crypto. Now it was a matter of, well, can we do it technologically, right? Is there a way to do this on our network? And then if we do it, can we get a bank to process those deposits for us? The technology was very simple for us. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple process. It's really a stage and a complete, if you will. So the currency is loaded into the machine. If you don't have an account set up, you can do that on the back end with CoinMe. If you do, it's very simple about identifying who you are at the machine and your account, your wallet gets loaded. So the technology piece was simple, and because our machines are press a button, load software configurably to the kiosk level, we could do that to any retailer that wanted to have it. Quite frankly, almost every retailer we talked to wanted it. The only one that didn't, it's the largest retailer on the planet. You probably know who that is. So they're a little more conservative.
Yeah.
Almost every other retailer that we have is very interested in seeing it. And then it was a matter of establishing banking, and banking was the hardest part. So we scoured the earth for the right partner to be able to take it. We had to go through a ton of diligence, making sure that there was throttling controls, being able to stop transactions as needed, those kinds of things. But we got them into a great place. CoinMe is a great partner in terms of how they manage the back-end system. The retailers were acceptant of it. The technology was built in order to do it. And off to the races. Today we have 3,100 locations that accept fiat currency for Bitcoin.
Yeah, super interesting. And what do you think the retailers see in that, right? When is it that they're seeing more foot traffic or more opportunities to get people in the store? What makes that attractive to them?
I think if I were to look at it outside in, right, to the retailer, I think it's two things. Number one, it does bring in a different demographic, right? It's typically male, and it's typically the 18 to 34 range that are going in there to do this. And they're probably crypto savvy to some degree. They understand it.
Yeah.
But it's bringing that kind of new potential customer into their store who may not already shop there. And secondarily, it's revenue share, right?
Yeah.
So there's, because I'm using their property to sell, they get a piece of the action, right? Which is fair. So it's both driving traffic and increasing revenue share on our products.
Yeah. And you know, and when you're doing a business, you do things that make money, right? You're not going to do things just for fun. So for me, it's what's really interesting about your relationship with CoinMe and how you decided to take this on is that obviously you see revenue potential in doing this.
We do.
And you know, so I'd love to understand a little bit more about that, like how that's been going, and then you know what you think about this as far as like growing it and so forth as part of your business offering.
Yeah, sure. So you know, this is a fee-based program, just like all of our products are, and you know, the fee to the consumer is 8% on the transaction. So we're generating revenue through that process on every transaction based on the volume of the transaction. We started this program in mid-January, January 17th, I think, to be exact. 10 months later, we're on a $30 million run rate of volume.
Wow.
That's what it's looking like right now. We're averaging close to $98,000 a day in volume in transactions. Transactions a day are over 300. The average user is putting in about $300 per transaction, so it's not just $20 worth. It's significantly more. And I think we're bringing a differentiated customer, right? So we're bringing somebody who's not comfortable maybe online making this purchase, but they're really comfortable with, you know, a kiosk to be able to deliver really a 2-minute transaction. That's all it takes. And some information, yeah, right? Sharing who you are, your license information, that type of stuff. So for us, we have seen, you know, quarter over quarter, 25% growth in volume in transactions that are occurring, and without a whole lot of marketing at this point in time. Yeah. We're really kind of looking to find the right way to market this. It's mostly social media, you know, likely. Or if we can get banner ads that make sense out there. We're doing minimal in-store advertising, but it's purely on the machine at this point in time. But we're seeing tremendous growth with very little investment, and I think if we can ratchet that up a little bit more, I think we can start bringing in more people. It's kind of a democratization of buying Bitcoin inside of a grocery store, right? For something sure. that no one's really ever thought of before.
Well, and being the cash on-ramp for it is pretty interesting too, right? Because right now you can't buy Bitcoin with cash.
Yeah, you can't buy much online with cash.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to do.
No, so it's super interesting. And so when you think about it from, you know, so you obviously have to report to a board and, you know, you have to make this make sense to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm assuming when you first talked about this, they probably were less likely to be up for it, and I'm assuming now that they're seeing 25% quarter over quarter, they're probably more interested in it, right? So,
well, yeah, I mean, anything to grow revenue and EBITDA is what the board wants, and we're private equity owned, so you know, they're looking for that. They one of the board members actually was the one that suggested it to us 3 years ago. I think that's one out of, you know, 11 people, but for the most part, now that they see kind of how it's going. It's a good decision, right?
Yeah.
And it's low capital investment. I mean, our investment in the business has been the 22,000 kiosks that are out there, right?
Yeah.
The technology is kind of there. It's just a matter of building that connective tissue, that API connective tissue between what we do and what our partner does to be able to facilitate that.
100%.
And then deliver an elegant solution for a person that's, you know, maybe not as clear about how this works as you might be.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, what I find so interesting about just this whole use case with you and CoinMe and the Bitcoin is the fact that, you know, you have a traditional business, a quote unquote traditional business, a quote unquote, you know, alternative finance business. You think of this opportunity to incorporate Bitcoin. You know, I think we'll start to see a lot of companies doing the same thing, right?
I hope not exactly what we're doing. Yeah.
Not exactly, but yeah. You know, like accepting Bitcoin as payments.
I think that's
You know, because right now I've talked about this a lot publicly, is that like, hey, like Bitcoin and payments is really interesting, but it's also being converted at the merchant. You know, I really think we'll start to get to points where Bitcoin is demanded by the merchant. You know, that's something that Coinstar could facilitate, right? Like if the merchant demands Bitcoin, you're able to facilitate that.
Yeah, we absolutely could.
You know, I'd love to kind of think through with you, or even just have some fun here and just brainstorm a little bit. Like, what are some ways that you think, like even like your partners or people in tangential businesses, or just even completely random, how they could start incorporating Bitcoin? Like, if you were talking to a CEO friend of yours in a different business, like how might you start thinking about articulating how they could start thinking about Bitcoin for what they're doing?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and I'll take it in like two different directions. Externally, it's you know, what is your business offer today? Because with our business, it's purely a B2B to C transaction, right? Where we need the retailer in order to place the equipment, but we're our end user is where we're generating our revenue from.
Yeah.
We're also in the fiat currency business, right? So we're taking coins, we're taking currency into our machines. So there's logical extensions to be able to manage that. In this particular case, the on-ramp of fiat currency to a product is how we want to think about our business in the future, right?
Yeah.
In the past, it had been coins to cash, paper money to be able to use, right? You're taking heavy metal and turning it into spendable currency. Tomorrow, we're looking at, in a digital world, how do you on-ramp that currency for maybe un- and underbanked, or folks that don't or have a cash affinity prefer to use that versus a credit card.
Right.
And how you do that. If I were talking to another business, I would ask them the questions about who's your customer, how do you look at your technology today, what type of industry are you around, are you surrounding yourself by opportunities to leverage cash, are you in a, you know, a digital, more of a digital world, and then how do you think about that from a consumer user standpoint, right? That's really what we thought about, and we're trying to attract new customers, and if that's a goal out of an organization, then that's a great way to do this. It's a differentiated product,
yeah,
for sure, and it's in its infancy. So being on board for something that's early is great, right? You don't want to get into this game 10 years down the road because the rules are going to change more than likely, and you're going to have a more difficult time capturing that market of what you're going after. If I pivot that and more look at the retailer, I think that there's bigger opportunities for the retailer to take advantage of this. And you and I spoke about this previously, but you know, there's reward programs,
yeah,
much like you have fuel points in stores today. You can have Bitcoin points, right?
There's
opportunities to get the retailer closer to the product by again leveraging that particular product against the consumer, right, or for that consumer. So when I think about how to draw in that retailer more so that they become more open to the opportunities that exist, and as you said, kind of the merchant Bitcoin pool, if you
yeah.
will, I think that's how you draw them closer by saying, look, your consumers are coming and they're buying it. Wouldn't you want to offer to them in some way, shape, or form as a reward for shopping with you? And then you kind of lever that upwards into, well, couldn't you use this cross-functionally for
right.
purchases of what you need to do?
Yeah, because ultimately that's what it comes down to, is that you demand currencies that other people demand of you.
Absolutely.
Right? And so if the merchant needs to pay their suppliers or their vendors or so forth with that, that's definitely going to make that happen.
But the consumer's the king, right? If the consumer's not interested in it, then it's dead on arrival.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's great. And you know, you're doing some other things. You were talking about. So you said the mobile app. Yeah. How do you think through the mobile app when you think to cryptocurrency, and then even outside of cryptocurrency, like how does that become a part of it?
Yeah, I think for our purposes, we're in kind of the beginning phases of trying to understand this. The initial desire was, you know, we capture somebody's attention for 4 minutes, 2, 3, 4 times a year
yeah.
at our kiosk. And when they walk away, they forget about us. They don't remember who we are. They see us maybe every week, but the utilization is for whatever period of time or number of times that they need per year. So the desire here is, as the world's changing more into a digital place, is to take the experience away from the kiosk and put it, you know, put it on this thing, right? That's where everything goes. In order to do that, there has to be good utility, right?
Yeah.
Because how many apps, what's the average apps that are on phones today?
Too many.
I got 70, so I...
Well, yeah, so it's something like that, but then like the amount of apps that you actually use, I think is 5 or
yeah,
less than 5.
Yeah, I use probably 3 or 4,
yeah.
right? You know, my alarm system on my home, my bank account, and a couple others. So when you think about how do I extend that experience away from the kiosk, there's got to be more than just an app that's a locator, because if you're using it to find me 4 times a year, that's hardly relevant. By the way, you probably know where I am anyway.
Yeah.
So we've got to be able to offer opportunities to that consumer that are different than what we're doing at the machine. So if we stay with, you know, who the demographic is and largely in our consumer base, we start to angle in more on financial services that make sense for a very specific group of people, providing opportunities to get loans, providing opportunities to pay bills, right? So there could be bill payment services, loans, it could be P2P, loans, there could be a multitude of opportunities that they're going to use more frequently
mm-hmm.
that we can deliver on the app, again, through partnerships on the back end, and then lever that into, you know, more revenue opportunities.
Yeah, super interesting. I love how you think about that too, right? Is that like, it's a lot of people or a lot of companies feel this desire to just build, But with building comes lots of time, lots of responsibility, maintenance,
lots
all that.
Lots of cost.
You know, right. Yeah. And so you really have like this great partner mentality. It's like, how can you leverage other partners to continue to extend what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're good at certain things. We're great operators of the kiosk that we have. We understand the technology well, and we understand retail relationships well. So, you know, we're in every major retail grocery chain between here and Japan. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I don't understand cryptocurrency to the level that you or others here do tonight. And I need a good partner on the back end that can guide us through that process. And we have that with CoinMe. We would do the same thing if we were looking at loans. We would do the same thing if we're looking at bill payment services. We're not here to recreate the wheel. We're here to give a different experience to the consumer and to be able to give it to a broader sect then maybe that business doesn't have opportunity to get at today,
yeah.
Right? So for CoinMe, a little startup here in Seattle, it's hard for them to capitalize 3,100 locations of points of sale.
Right.
But they can do it through us.
Right.
Others can take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we open up to questions overall, I want to kind of talk about, just get political for a second. Not political, but more like geo. You know, the financial markets, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. So a couple things have happened that have been interesting regarding cryptocurrency and then also finance. So, you know, there's Facebook with their Libra coin, and, you know, it's been not as well received as they had intended from different governments. And then you also had President Xi in China talk about they're going to be doing digital assets for the RBN. So, you know, curious, like, what your thoughts are, like, you pay attention to much of that, and then, yeah, like, how you think that kind of leads to what we have going on over here.
Yeah, well, you know, so we're somewhat close to Libra because we've had conversations with that team about, wouldn't you love to have a fiat currency on ramp?
Yeah,
for
which would make
for
a lot of
product.
Sense for them.
I think it would. But they're obviously a good year away from being able to pass through regulatory in multiple countries, not just here in the U.S.
Right.
Plus, Facebook's had some other issues that they're trying to defend against as well. So it's a complicated process. I think because it's tied to a stable coin and it's going to have probably a lot more utility. But you know, you've got countries that are very concerned about the fact that it could hurt their local currencies,
right,
and deflate them in some manner. So. Look, I think that one, the best minds are probably thinking through how does this work in order to ensure that it doesn't impact any one particular currency negatively, secondarily, that it's going to get good utility and that, you know, the consumers, based on it being a stable coin, will use it in a good way. I think that good way goes more to that conversation we had earlier about,
yeah,
being able to utilize it more in commerce than it's done,
right,
to date.
Right.
So I have high hopes for it. I would like to see that, but you know, the jury's going to be out a little bit on that. China issue is certainly a lot more complicated than that is, and something that I probably don't have great political insight on. I'm more concerned with trade war at this point in time. Not that it affects my business wholly, but it certainly affects all the businesses that are surrounding us. But
for sure,
that's one that I'm really not adept at speaking to.
Nice. Awesome. Well, with that, we're going to open up to questions from all of you. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Will you do me a favor and just say that question really loud?
Okay. yeah, you mentioned that you have like 22,000 installations, but you have only like 3,100 offering Bitcoin. What's stopping you from expanding it to all locations?
Yeah. So.
In other countries.
Yeah. There's if you take the U.S. today, of the nearly 18,000 locations that we have in the U.S., there are only about 8,000 that accept paper money today. So the others would need, first of all, to be upgraded from a hardware standpoint to accept currency, paper money. And then the other part about why are we at 3,100 versus 8,000, the answer would be, in many of those states that those machines sit in, we don't have the MTLs to operate yet. So it's a matter of going out and getting the proper licensing in order to do that, offer that product in that state. That doesn't take an inordinate amount of time, but it does take time and it does take resources to be able to do that. So we will. Internationally, wholly different discussion. We are fairly comfortable with understanding compliance and regulatory issues in the U.S. We have just begun to look at international opportunities. We looked at the United Kingdom, where we have a couple of thousand location placements today. We think that that's a doable country for us, but we're still working our way through that regulatory regime to understand it a little bit better. And then the other part is what I mentioned earlier, banks, getting a bank to accept that deposit. It's really hard to do. It's viewed to them as they could take it, but risky in terms of the what's the outcome if I take this from a brand image if something were to go wrong. So you got to find that right partnership on a financial institution level. I think the retailers would love it, and I know the consumers would love it, but we got to get past those things first.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Jim, thank you. Very helpful to see that. Great story. So talk about the first time somebody came to you with the idea, and then from idea to implementation, how long did it take?
Yeah. Well, again, the first time the idea came up was about 3 years ago. But when we actually got motivated to do something and actually implement it, we met with CoinMe back in October of 2018. And by January, we were up and running in the Washington, Seattle mostly market. So it didn't take long at all.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, we didn't have banking. So, you know, we had cash that we couldn't, you know, we had float basically, right? That we didn't have utilization of those funds. The cash flow was an impact. But at the same time, you know, we didn't know how it was gonna go. And initially it was a 0.1 transactions per unit per day. Right, and it's grown significantly since then.
So whose idea was it at CoinStar, like when it came up 3 years ago? How did that discussion go?
Well, I mean, the strategy sat with me in terms of the impetus for wanting to do it. I just didn't feel 3 years ago it was the right thing to do for the brand. As I understood it better, and as I started to understand that you could do KYC, that you could, you know, ensure that there's, you know, these MTL regulations that we would follow, that's when I became more comfortable and said, let's find the right partner to work with to do that stuff.
But did you feel you had to sell it through the organization?
I really didn't. The organization was hungry for new products and services, and this one was, I mean, you know, this one's way out there for us, right? But at the same time, it was, well, wait a minute, we can do this technologically. There's no reason we can't. It's not a heavy lift for us. If there's a consumer, let's test and try. I believe that, you know, MVP modeling and being able to test, learn, fail fast type stuff is what we should do. This one just took off, and we never looked back.
So you mentioned the user base being kind of between the 20 and 34 age group, so a lot of this room. Do you have additional demographic information that you can share with us? And then are you in talks or currently looking at possibly incorporating other coins at a point in the near future?
So I don't have additional demographic information, and the reason that we don't is the customers are owned by CoinMe. So they keep that PII to themselves. They do share with us certain demographic information in cohorts around our locations where we offer the product so that we can understand better. It works really good here, and it doesn't work really good here, and the demographic difference kind of tells us what looks good, right? So we're more akin to that. They have the very specific information about the individual, the repeat user, they have all their personal information as well. So we don't get that today. We get a higher level view of the demographics than a more granular. And I'm sorry, your second part was
about incorporating the altcoins. Coins, yeah.
Yeah. So we just had a conversation about that 45 minutes ago. Look, I think that there's, based upon what I'm being told by CoinMe, that there's an interest for other coins to be leveraged on the kiosk, that we're maybe leaving out some consumers that don't want Bitcoin, that want XRP or something else. So we're interested in doing that. It's not heavy technological lift for us. It's, you know, a couple more keystrokes in order to get that stuff done. So we are looking at doing that at some point here, likely in 2020.
Anybody else have a question?
From a business development point of view, talk about a startup vendor like Coinbee with a new technology selling or presenting to your group. What do they do well that kind of kept you coming back to those conversations?
Why do we pick them?
Yeah.
The main reason we picked them, we had some inside the organization legal folks who knew their lawyers that represent them and how they are from a compliance standpoint, and that immediately, you know, kind of got my attention, right? It's, you're doing the right things. If I'm going to broadcast this, I've got 350 million views of my kiosk on any given week, right? It's 350 million eyeballs that are looking at my kiosk. If I'm going to represent a product, I got to make sure that the product is going to be a bulletproof to the largest extent, right? To the extent possible. So what got me hooked on them initially was regulatory compliance, how they thought about doing a transaction, how they manage all that in the background, how their technology worked in order to suffice all of that. And then once we got together and started to test, the bank that we finally got to accept currency put more stringent regulations on them, and they stepped up, and at every turn they complied with that and got it done. So for me, it's all about the safety net, making sure that the product is going to be bulletproof to the extent that we can make it, and that there's no brand reputational damage either from me, from CoinStar, or to, you know, the Safeway Albertsons that the product is offered in. That was clearly most important.
So I always perceive CoinStar as kind of like an empowerment tool to give people access to their money that they would otherwise just discard, right?
I love that you said that, because yeah, that's literally our brand promise, empowering people.
All right. So just extend that into the cryptocurrency space. And does Coinbee look to you to be the educators, or to be, because you are the,
yes,
you're the big boy in the room, you know, like making it accessible to your consumers, but also you're not, you know, it's your brand on the line.
It is, right? Yeah. We're right now, what we talk about for our vision is financial empowerment for all. That's literally what we want. We want to have the ability to offer people products and services and be able to use their currency, right, whatever form that is, in ways that they want to use it, whatever that may be. Bill payment, loans, turning into cash for spendable money, whatever it may be. The partner is responsible for educating the mass, and that's what's very important to me as well. So something that we've been dealing with Coinbee is, how do we get two things? How do we get education, and how do we get awareness to the public, right, that there's this ability to use a kiosk to load cash into Bitcoin? But more importantly, how do we get them unafraid of cryptocurrency, right? Because that's the big one,
yeah,
right? It's like the boogeyman's out there with this cryptocurrency stuff. And they're working on very thoughtful marketing plans. They're working on things that they believe are going to be like advisors, right? So somebody within a community, whatever that community may be, it could be sports, it could be the Latin community, it could be any community, that has somebody to look at and say, tell me about this product. Tell me why it's safe, right? Tell me how I can use it in a meaningful way. Is it speculative? Can I actually use it? You know, what are the things that you, as a trusted ambassador, are going to tell me about it? So those are the things that we're working through with CoinMe to drive that awareness, to drive that education. I think that's paramount, especially when you're talking about putting, you know, the ability to buy cryptocurrency in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the user experience like from start to finish? Somebody who's never done it before,
yeah,
thinks it kind of sounds cool.
Yeah, if it's the first time for the user, it's a little bit more arduous, only because you're gonna it's still at the kiosk. It's literally a 2-minute transaction, right? So you're gonna go to the machine, you're gonna hit start, you're gonna hit the Bitcoin button. It's gonna make you an offer of a 5-minute offer of, here's the value of the Bitcoin right now. You got 5 minutes to accept this and load your cash, or it shuts down. Now, most people accept that, load their money, and if they've never set up an account before with CoinMe, they're going to get a voucher out of the machine that basically gives them a PIN number that now they have to go online and set up their account. So they got to do their KYC. So once they put the cash in, it goes into a CoinMe held wallet. Once they establish their credentials and identity on the CoinMe website at home or on the mobile app, then that money is transferred into their personal wallet. So it's a very simple process. The next time somebody goes, you put in your personal information, it goes right to your wallet, it's done.
Oh, it goes right to the wallet.
Yeah, it's that
it
fast.
Is it only CoinMe wallets?
It's only CoinMe wallet at this point, yes.
Yeah.
If you so choose. I'm sure CoinMe wouldn't like that, but yes.
Is it an exclusive relationship?
I'm sorry?
Is it an exclusive relationship?
It is not an exclusive relationship. I don't do exclusivity with anyone because you never know what's around the corner. Yeah.
Do we have one last question?
Just a quick question. Yeah. Obviously, running CoinStar under Outer Wall before it got bought by Apollo and PE, has that changed a lot? Or, I mean, it's still the same day to day, or is it exciting?
Yeah,
how's that transition been?
That's a really great question. when I was the president of CoinStar prior to the buyout by Apollo, I was running a company in maintenance mode, and most of the cash flow from the organization, most of the cash flow was coming from Redbox, right? That was a $2 billion business. It was massive. So the cash flow was being directed into new business ventures, right? When we had 20 startup ventures within Outer Wall. It was insane. And I was in maintenance mode. I got my 9 or 10 million in CapEx a year to maintain the equipment, and I couldn't grow it. And, you know, it felt like a dead end. And I think the employees all felt that as well. Once I got taken private, the way that Apollo broke up Outer Wall was to stand each business on its own, separately capitalized, so that our cash flow is our cash flow. And now, over the last 3 years, we've been able to grow the business. We opened up 5 new countries, right? We're in Germany, Italy, France, Spain, Japan, and we did an acquisition in France that gave us Belgium and Luxembourg. We've been able to pour money into new equipment and technology for domestic installations, and banks are a real hot spot for us right now. We're doing both installs in branches, and we're talking to them about remote deposit. And then, of course, new products. And I've got my VP of product here tonight, Mike Jack, who's here specifically to grow the alternative financial service sector of our products, right? So it's been an unshackling and the ability to use our cash flow in the way that we want to grow a business. And I see this business being close to $700 to $800 million top line business in the next 5 years at the growth rate we're going.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun. We'll have this on the podcast here soon. Cool. Can everybody do me a favor and please give Jim a big round of applause? Thank you for listening to the TF Blockchain Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and also follow us on social media for announcements on upcoming conferences, events, recordings, and news. Please review and rank our podcast so we can continue to spread awareness of blockchain, Bitcoin, and crypto. Thanks again for listening. Keep learning, keep growing, and keep building.